In the heart of the Indiana University campus is a veritable trove filled with invaluable artifacts. Not very many people know about it. It's called the Lilly Library, and it's due for a visit.
Hi, can I help you?
Luckily, this treasure trove is open to the public.
All right.
That said, it's a little different than a regular library. First off, you have to go through the librarian at the front desk, who will ask you to check your bags in the locker room. Don't forget a picture ID, and above all...
We don't allow pen.
No pens?
We don't use pen.
Okay, no pens, just pencils and laptops, so leave any pens in the locker. Then you approach another set of locked doors where you wait for a click. There's my click. And open to find the Lily's reading room. This is where anyone can read rare books and manuscripts, even comic books. Christoph Irmscher is an English professor, and he spends a lot of time in the reading room.
The Lilly Library is one of the best repositories for pretty much everything, but the Sylvia Plath collection is outstanding.
Christoph found a schedule that poet Sylvia Plath wrote for her child's nanny.
Sevenish on rising, big bowl of Pharex, milk to drink, change diaper, put to bed for nap, 10:30, change nappy. 12:30 lunch.
He says that Plath was enormously compulsive. She typed out everything from her responses to complaining students, notes, letters, and this schedule that left no room for improvisation.
After being boiled with 3 little spoons of concentrate mixed in.
But then you flip over this pink sheet of paper.
The earth scar of that hole through which he bloodily crept into wealth and fatness.
Remember, this is not a reprint, but the original paper, and Plath's poet husband Ted Hughes had used the back of her schedule to scrawl out a few verses.
You essentially have the entire marriage and what went wrong in this marriage. You have it in a nutshell.
Hughes and Plath had a tumultuous relationship that ended in Plath's suicide.
And I just love the contrast between this hyper-organized schedule that Plath put out for a baby and Hughes's absolutely fantastic imagination here.
For Christoph, there's so much to be taken from seeing unpublished manuscripts like this one.
I just love thinking about literature not as the production of a solitary genius, but as something that has a seat in life. And it kind of pulls literature down from whatever pedestal it's on.
Joel Silver, the Lilly Library's curator of books, brought one of his favorite items out of the stacks.
This book is the Shakespeare First Folio. It's the first collected edition of Shakespeare.
This book, this very book he's looking at right now, was made in 1623.
It's one of the most famous books, if not the most famous, in English literature. It publishes about half of Shakespeare's plays for the first time. And also one of my favorite books.
The Lilly has all kinds of special materials. They have a Gutenberg Bible, handwritten letters from Charles Darwin, a first edition of Mein Kampf, and a 4-foot-long first edition of Audubon's Birds of America, a book they also have in miniature form.
I'm Becky Cape. I'm head of reference and public services here at the Lilly Library.
Becky says the Lilly Library has about 25,000 miniature books.
Some of these are about the size of the head of a pen.
So why would someone want to make a miniature book? Some saw it as a challenge, and travelers liked books they could slip into a pocket.
The other reason people made miniature books is because they were easily concealed. So that if it had content that was either illegal or pornographic or something that you just didn't want people to know about, you could have it and you could hide it very easily.
The Lilly has the first book printed in the United States on birth control.
And it was done in a miniature format because it was illegal to disseminate information on birth control at that time.
Back in the reading room, a librarian walks newcomers through the process of finding what interests them.
I'd like to see a map of ancient Jerusalem. Do you think you could help me with that?
Sure. You can probably check in IUCAT or on the Lilly Library website. We also have the card catalog.
Card catalog. That definitely brings back memories. The librarian comes back after a few minutes to show what she came up with.
Jerusalem map, and based on Ptolemy's Geographica, it probably will have a map of Jerusalem. We can have it pulled up and you can take a look.
I'd love that. Okay, so what do I do next?
We can just get a call card, and you can fill that out with the call number and your information, and we'll get a page to bring it out for you.
She brings out these foam supports and lays them on the table. Those help protect the bindings of very old books. Then out comes a torso-sized volume. The cover is all brown and splotchy.
Some of the maps are in the beginning part.
Now what I'm touching is actually from 1550, right?
Yes, this book is from 1550.
And then she returns to her desk and lets you peruse the book yourself. You get to handle a book that's nearly half a millennium old. Everything is in Latin, but there are a lot of illustrations. There are old maps of Paris and Rome and Athens as they looked in 1550. And towards the end, Jerusalem. Okay, so it's not ancient Jerusalem, but you can still call this trip a success.
You get hooked on it.
Christoph warns about the addiction of working with documents like these, especially letters.
There's something about the physical experience of holding an item in your hand. There's a bit of a mystique associated with it, too. I would say that this was touched by the very person in whose work you're interested in.
For WFIU's Artworks, this is Megan Meyer.